It is essential that we treat each other with respect. We expect that participants will engage in active listening, make concise statements, and observe any applicable time limit. And just for the record, we try to keep comments within 3 minutes, but I think it's important that people get an opportunity to talk, but we will be cut off if things become redundant. So we expect that participants will refrain from disrespectful displays such as profanity, personal attacks, signs, heckling, and applause. And so then the guidelines for public comment will be that public comment ensures an opportunity for citizens to meaningfully participate in the decisions of its elected officials. It is one of several ways your voice is heard by your local government. During public comment, we ask that all participants respect the rights of others to make their comment uninterrupted. The council's goal is to receive as much comment as time reasonably allows. All public comment should be directed to the chair, which is myself. Comment made to the audience or individual council members may be pulled out of order. Public comment must remain on topic and free from abusive language or unsupported allegations. During any council meeting, you have two opportunities to comment. The first is during the public comment period, during the beginning of a meeting, and the second is before any decision-making vote of the council on an agenda item occurs. Comment made outside of these times may not be allowed. Citizens wishing to speak during any public comment period should come forward, state their name and address for the record, and comment may be time-limited as noted before, and as determined by the chair. So to allow as many people as possible to comment, we do have that limit. So comment prior to a decision-making vote must remain on the motion before the council. So I thank you in advance for adhering to these guidelines. And so I received many comments after the last meeting about how it was disrespectful of people's time to have such a long meeting. And part of the reason that the meeting was so long is because public comment lasted so long last time. So just keep that in mind. But we are here to do the business of the meeting, and that's what we have on our agenda. But we're also here to listen to what people have to say. So, first call for public comment for items not on the agenda. Sandy Bird?
I would like to make a comment. I understand that it has been suggested that the building is not ADA compliant because a senior fell. That was me. That was my own fault, and I let everybody know that, and everybody that was here knew that I was in the side building and turned around and tripped on my own feet. So I don't want anybody thinking that I am trying to stir up any trouble. I just want you to know I did not, and I have not complained to anybody about it. I was not hurt except my pride, and I just don't like the fact that they're trying, that it's somehow being used as something to try and just shut down. Thank you.
Thank you for that comment, Sandy. I appreciate that.
I'd like to make a comment to that.
Go ahead and make the comment.
I was going to say, Sandy, I haven't heard anything about that. It not being ADA compliant, except for when Jude Bunker's talked to me today. Just for you. We haven't heard anything about that. So don't take that on you saying something.
And typically, public comment is not for discussion, but just for your information. The town is aware that the building is not ADA compliant, but it's also an historic building, and so there's a balance between what you can do and what you can't do.
That's right. And since it's the town's building, it should be up to the town, not the seniors, right?
Indeed.
Correct.
And it is. But we want to consider what others have to say as well. Additional public comment?
Mayor Faust, it's a privilege to be here. I've missed a few meetings, but I've also been gone. And I'm from Northwest Indian Bible School. Just wanted to make you aware we are going to start up Indian taco sales again. many of you come over. We thank you for that. So the school year's starting, and so are the Intago sales September 14th, Monday. We encourage you to mark that on the calendars. Normally that mailing goes out to you anyway, so don't listen to anybody else, but Intago sales. We encourage you to come September 14th.
Thank you. Appreciate your comment. Rachel?
Yeah, I just wanted to feedback off you. I'm here to support the Senior Citizen Center in any way. I don't know what's been talked about or what's really happening. There's lots of rumors going around, so I think I'm just here trying to gain information and support our seniors.
Wonderful. Thank you for your comment. And for the record, I am totally for the seniors and looking to figure out a way that we can work through this together. I do not want the senior program to go away. Additional public comment on items not on the agenda. I don't know your name, sir.
Yeah, my name is Aiden Curran. I live at 106 Fifth Street.
Thank you.
And just here, I sent a letter to the council and mayor. The back of my property was cut off, and Marty's here. We could talk about it, I guess, but we talked about it and he didn't really respond to me. The council voted to cut off it was a alleyway, and there was not really any notice to be provided. There was not enough notice provided for the actual meeting day or anything. The only time that I knew anything about it was the day before they started doing excavation work on the property. And now I have to park out on the street, and I used to park out on my property, so it just makes everything worse. And nobody said anything. So I think the only person that is on the council right now that was on the council then is Kyle. But
Chair,
the
Chair.
Yeah. Okay. So I don't know. But nobody asked me about it. And I didn't get any notice. Nobody said anything. Nobody did anything. And then I see, you know, the back of my property cut off. And
I guess I'll just offer a response. To my knowledge, thinking back, this is the back of your property, Marty?
Yep. He's talking about the easement between the two lots.
Yep.
The road that was affected was off 4th Street, going up by Pelletier's property on the church.
Uh-huh.
That lot cut across the corner of my property. To my knowledge, there's no easement. And
there
I
was a, since 1909, there was an alleyway that went all the way up. So that's kind of.
Yeah, it was a right to vacate town property on account of property line for you.
Yeah, and that was a separate property line from what he's referring to.
Okay.
That right to vacate was in between the two lots, between 4th and 5th, right in the middle of mine. He's talking about a road that cut across the back of my lot on 4th Street.
Either way,
I have an easement.
There was
a survey right here that shows no easement.
Right, we were looking at maps on this, and that's why we.
There was a legal access to my property since the town was founded, pretty much. So that's a problem, is that it was cut off without anybody saying anything to me. And I'm the one who uses it all the time. Other people use it, it's the only, you know, real way to turn around on 4th Street there.
There's
without
the
backing
town.
Down.
All right, wait.
But
I'd like to suggest, Aiden, that perhaps you and the Hoogemans would like to come in to the office and speak, or to schedule a time. To
be happy to do that.
Okay. And perhaps with Charlie there to look at maps, and we can pull information out of the files. And
I mean, it'd be one thing if somebody said something, but
yeah.
Nobody says
something. Is that before your time?
I have.
No. I don't think so.
No.
Excuse me, Kyle, what was your question?
I'm sorry, I was actually asking Charlie if that was before his time, before his hire. Was
no.
I didn't think so.
No, it included Charlie's time.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he's aware of what occurred there. So I did provide Aiden, because you did send in an email, I did respond to that, but I couldn't find all the information. So, yeah, I think it would be good for the two parties specifically involved to have a moment to sit down and together talk about what happened and to look, see the files and find the documentation and confirm.
Yep.
Thank you, Marty. I'm glad you're here so that Yeah.
Yeah, from the survey I have, there's no easement, and the affected area was entirely within my property lines.
Okay.
There's still access at the top of 4th Street on the town's established River Road, as long as it's called.
Okay.
So there is still access back to the property.
Very good.
Okay.
Thank you. So I have both your numbers, I'll be in touch.
Okay.
Thank you, Lorraine.
You're most welcome, thank you both. The new people that just came in, did you come in to get settled here? Thank you. Okay, so the point we're at is for a comment for items not on the agenda. So, do we have any additional comments for items not on the agenda? This is the third and final call.
I have one down here. This is, it's not totally serious, but the smoke's got me all messed up right now, and my left ear, I'm pretty much completely deaf. So forgive me if I'm hard of hearing tonight. I'm gonna do my best here.
Thank you, Doug. Okay, last call, and moving on to the agenda. Thank you very much. And as you know, there's room at the bottom for more public comment. So the first item on the agenda is our consent agenda. And I do apologize to the council that because we do not have a clerk currently, the items do not come to you in advance. So we have the minutes, and then you have the claims to take a peek at. And hopefully you had a minute to do that.
I did have a moment to do that.
Wonderful, okay. Tim, you read late, so just to be sure you got a minute.
This is the same packet we received in the email earlier today.
Yes. Oh, so you did get to see it.
I did see it a little bit, yeah.
It got on there at kind of the last second. We were
scrambling.
Yeah, that's fine, that's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did get a chance to see.
Very good. And essentially, it is a approval of things that are fairly common. But please do verify that there's not something in there that you'd like to question. That's why we moved it to the consent agenda. It should be fairly...
Look pretty standard.
Yeah. Shannon, can you think of something that was on the claims that might be out of the ordinary or that you want to call attention to?
The only additional thing is we are paying for the police car.
Yes.
We have 4 annual installments of $5,000 that came for the first time this year, so we'll have 3 additional years.
Mm-hmm.
What else did we have? Anything else?
No,
everything else is, I think, pretty much the same common stuff.
If council is ready, I would entertain a motion.
Well, first.
First what?
First motion?
I need to have you say the whole thing.
I'm so sorry.
I move to, sorry.
I thought you were moving forward.
I am. But yeah, we need to have the full verbiage of the motion for the record.
Motion to approve the consent agenda.
Please.
Yeah, I'll first approval and the motion to
approve the consent agenda. Very good. Kyle has first, and do we have a second?
I'll second it.
And Sharon has motion to second the consent agenda. Shannon, would you please call the question?
Okay, this is for approval of the consent agenda. Councilperson Fox?
Yes.
Councilperson Briggs?
Yes.
Councilperson Cerencioni?
Yes.
Okay, motion is carried.
Motion carries unanimous. And this evening, first on the staff reports, will be our Deputy Clerk Treasurer, Shannon Cunio's staff report.
Okay, update on the budget process and where we are in that. Expense budgeting is nearly complete. Charlie and I carved out a little bit of time today to get to the water parks and roads. We do need to do more of that. Income figures have been received, and they are also going to need some review. We are re-upping our interlocal agreements for this fiscal year. That is the law enforcement, it is the legal, and it's the justice of the peace. So it's courts and justice of the peace. We've got 3 of them. We've got one actually, we've got two basically signed and we're waiting on the third. One thing to know about the budget process, because it's governmental, it's backwards. We are actually coming up with our new budget before we finalize last year's budget. So right now we're in the new budget process. We will then take last year's budget, we will reconcile it, finalize it. After that, we will have reports regarding the budget for the last fiscal year. Those will be available sometime in September. Utility billing. We've worked very hard over the past several months to bring our delinquent utility accounts current. We specifically focused on collection efforts, and we've had a clear result. It's down $11,000 from where it was when we first started. As of July 31st, the total past due amounts across all aging categories stands at approximately 11,000, with the majority of accounts now current. This represents a meaningful progress from significantly higher past due totals reflected in the May report. And I can give you an example. I will just do the 20 overs. On May 7th, 2026, our 120 plus past day dues were $6,730. As of May 31st, our 120 past due is $3,507. All of our past dues have had a reduction. So that's been a tough one, but we're working it and we're continuing to work it. The rates, penalties, and fees previously contained in our utility ordinance has been removed. We had the ordinance read these past two meetings. A resolution addressing our penalties and fees is being presented this evening for council consideration. Office records and filing. The office filing, both paper and electronic from prior years, remains uncompleted. Files are in disarray, covering from 2023 through the end of last fiscal year, June 30th. And this is becoming an increasing operational problem for us. Completing this catch-up filing should be one of the first projects assigned to our new town clerk. Ordinances and resolutions should be the next priority. Our ordinances, a lot of them, are outdated and need to be looked at. In addition, our resolutions need to be indexed and filed properly. They are not and haven't been at this point. So that is about everything that I have to say.
Okay. I just had a quick question. When you were talking about the interlocal agreements, does that include the one for our county? Is that considered an
for our what?
Accounting with Jody.
It's not an interlocal agreement. It's just a contract, and yes, we have signed that.
Okay. Very good. Any questions for Shannon? Council.
Thank you, Shannon.
Charlie, Public Works Manager report. Next.
Charlie Jenkins, Public Works. Month of July, the Historical Museum. We started prepping that for painting. And boy, did we get derailed. We had a lagoon, one of our influent pumps in our wet well, had a clog, basically. This happens usually once a year. And so what you do is you pull the pump up and you swing it over. We have a little crane mechanism and you swing the pump over. Set it down, you take the pump apart, and you pull out what is lodged on the inside. You test it, and then you swing it back in and make sure that it gets seated properly 20 feet below where the pump lives out its days. In swinging the pump back in, and we started lowering it back down, the cable on our winch snapped. And the entire pump fell down into the pit. And it was quite a bit of a little ordeal. So, we did some quick thinking and we figured out a method of retrieving the pump and the motor and getting it pulled back up. And so we executed that and brought it back to the surface, and we plugged it back in, and because of the water level at the bottom, there was no damage that we could tell, and the pump ended up being just fine. We very luckily, a citizen had another winch that was identical to ours, and so it mounted right up on our mounting thing, and it was phenomenal, so we didn't even have to make a run to Missoula. And we set the pump back in, and all is well. On that front. Then we had a water main leak over here at 806 and 802 Railroad. It was kind of a double situation. We excavated on that the Thursday before Railroad Day, which proceeded into Friday before Railroad Day. And we got both of those. The one was a valve. The smaller leak was like a valve, and the way that the valve was connected to the pipes was just weeping. And that one wasn't nearly as substantial as in front of 806. There was actually two pinhole leaks in the 2-inch main there. So we did have a brief water outage. It would have been the Friday the 17th. And then once we got the valve put in and fixed that one first, then we were able to then isolate from just that valve over, so the residents experienced another water outage that we're on the tail end of that line. Sorry, Garth. But we had to go down and sever that. In terms of that, that is MDT right away, so there's a bit of some paperwork we had to deal with on that, but they were awesome. They were super awesome, and they, in the moment, they were like, whatever you need to do, which I was very grateful for. In the past, it didn't seem nearly quite like that, and this scenario, they were like, yeah, it's good to go. And so we just today, we poured the concrete. We ended up having to cut out 10 feet of the curb and gutter concrete. So we got that re-poured today, and they also allowed me to pour that. So we did that in-house as well, which is cool. So we got that done. And I also did PFAS testing, which is the forever chemicals. So both at the well house and up at the spring, I took samples for PFAS. It's more of a thing that just made me very nervous in my mind about doing the actual testing, because these chemicals are measured in parts per trillion, which is essentially one drop of water in about 100 Olympic-sized swimming pools, so the tolerance is very tight, and I took every precaution that I could, which involved washing my clothes in vinegar before testing, wearing absolutely no synthetics, no Gore-Tex, no nothing, and also, like, don't breathe, don't think about it too much, just do it. So those samples were shipped off to California, and the PFAS testing is something that is a nationwide push from the EPA. It is mandatory. We have to take these samples were done, and then in 5 to 7 months I have to resample. And I am not exactly sure when we're going to get the results back for this round of sampling. It's not our normal lab up in Kalispell, so should probably touch in with them and see. And then the community center, Ben's, that was something that was brought up. We also have not forgotten about the community center. We made a push on the back patio this spring. This building needs a lot of help. We've had a structural engineer come look and I've crawled around underneath, and what it really comes down to is it's just, it's wood. The sill and all of the floor joists are just wood on concrete, and they are all rotting back, so there's a lot of changing, shifting. We had a company called Groundworks come out and have a look at it. They don't touch anything wood. It was very kind of eye-opening about them. They will drill you some piers exterior. They will anchor onto your foundation, and they can actually lift your foundation and do all kinds of like incredible things. However, as soon as it comes to wood, that's where they draw the line, and it's like, I don't feel like we need to adjust the foundation as much as we need to develop a game plan, but probably bring in some beams underneath, probably steel, and get these floor joists some help, some jacks, and if we can, elevate the building enough to get the sill replaced. So in terms of the deck, that situation is, it's a hard deal. If we were to build this patio, it's going to need to be removed and or altered or something to get it access to this building. It also might be the most optimal place to get under the building. Would be just to go over here, core through the foundation. There is a little access outside, but it's extremely hard to get to. The crawl space underneath your feet is about 2 feet tall. So there's hardly any room to do anything. We don't have a solid, sure game plan. Another thing that has been talked about is perhaps removing the floor and accessing it from the top. So we're unsure about how we're going to go about all that. However, what we do know is, you know, there is that whole balance of the historical building and ADA compliance. We will be pushing on that a little more and trying to get some efforts into bringing this place up to speed in terms of ADA compliance and doing some work there. And I think that's all I have. Is there any questions?
Thank you, Jeremy. I wanted to mention about the PFAS. Did you say that's a one-time thing? That we've never done that before?
Yeah.
It's, and then now we'll be required to do it at least one more time again?
Yeah, the testing is like a two-phase situation.
Uh-huh. Interesting.
Yeah. So, and it has not been tested for thus far.
Okay. Thank you for going through the community center things that we're considering. I appreciate that, and others here do as well. And I just wanted to compliment you on the beautiful job. I went and looked at your cement job, and it looks picture perfect. So you guys did awesome on that. Thank you. And everybody else should check that out too. It's in front of the church right over here. Does anybody have any questions for Charlie on his report? Council?
No.
Thank you, Charlie.
Yeah. Did you have any additional reporting to do then on roads and maintenance, Charlie?
I mean, with the lagoon emergency and the water main break, those were kind of the two hard hitters where we all banded together, and that's kind of the situation. The park is starting to dry out. I am aware of that, and it's hot, man. It's not like the sprinklers are not going. I will say that. Sprinklers are sprinkling, and I don't know on that situation.
Well, we can attest to, we got a big bill for the water for the sprinklers, so Shannon's shaking her head yes,
Yeah, we put some water out there. Yeah. But I don't know, I think that's all I got.
Okay. Council, did you have any questions of Charlie regarding roads or maintenance? community?
I actually,
oh,
I do.
I'm sorry.
We talked about it a bit ago. Has there been any updates on dust abatement stuff, or we are still where we are with no movement there?
The dust abatement,
we're just basically stuck until we can afford to get it, right?
It kind of hit that thing of the budget, and looking at that situation was really where we left it off. And Garth Reby actually has sent me a couple different links in terms of like a water truck situation. We haven't really followed up. I tried calling one number on that, and they never call. I left a message, they didn't call back, and then it was sold. And
it's a busy
song. Yeah.
Okay. I just wanted to know if we're having the updates on that, or if there's some stuff moving in the background, in case people ask.
Yeah.
I can say, Tim, that we are putting it into next year's budget.
Excellent.
As, you know, a specific thing that we know that we want to get done.
Yeah.
And because it's such a high cost, that's one of the big reasons why we couldn't do this year, because it hasn't been in the budget for 10 years.
Yeah.
So we're looking at getting it in for this coming year.
Yeah.
Make sure we can get it done.
Sounds great.
You have to get on the list also, like, what, January or something?
January.
Like
to do it through Mineral County, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Great. Cool.
All
right. Thank you.
Community, do you have any questions regarding the motor maintenance report or issues regarding motor maintenance? Then moving on, we're going to have the engineer's report from Paul Montgomery, our engineer of record for the town.
Thank you, Mayor. I've kind of restructured the engineer's report to talk about the three main things that are going on with the town right now as far as my involvement. One is the large-scale water project, the $3.5 million project we just completed last year. Then also the upcoming storage tank project, and then the wastewater and stormwater work that we are negotiating the contract with the town to undertake. So, first of all, the 2025 water project. We're seeing the light at the end of the tunnel much more brilliantly now. We will have our last activity on this project is a one-year warranty inspection and certification with the contractor. So sometime in mid-August, I'll invite RLC representatives here. We'll work with Charlie and go through the whole project and see if there's anything that needs to be fixed as part of that one-year warranty. The project was completed the 26th of September last year, so we want to make sure we get anything identified and fixed before that deadline. So mid-August, we'll find a date or two. Might take a couple days, I don't know. Get with Charlie and see what sort of scope we're looking at, but we'll get that all wrapped up, and then the last thing will be one more invoice from Anderson Montgomery, and then we will close out that project. It will be in the rearview mirror. The other kind of dangling element with that project was the water right for the spring. Everything has been placed in DNRC's review. The application to expand that water right to the entire flow from the spring. And it is reaching the latter stages of their time frame that they're allotted to do a preliminary decision. I think it's a week or two, that 60 days is over. Anyway, we'll find out if they will grant that right or they will have some questions. I mean, my sub-consultant, Water Environment Technology, who's been working on that water right, says it is as close to a slam dunk as you can get, but we'll see. So,
I've heard that before.
I'm thinking that you'll have your water right all squared away for the spring here hopefully by the next council meeting. Okay, so that's the big water project. The next item is the storage tank project. Again, the town was awarded a $1 million special appropriation grant, and the town elected to use that grant for a new storage tank. We'll park it right next door to the existing 300,000-gallon tank that's up there now. And there was a cost share requirement for this $1 million grant that the town would have to come up with, I think, a 20% match. And because of the economic status of the town, certain socioeconomic characteristics, the town was given a waiver from that requirement, so the town does not have to match 20% on that grant. So we have $1 million, and I'm doing my best to wedge a 200,000-gallon tank into that budget.
Sweet.
As a fallback, we have applied for a $285,000 SRF loan to take up any overruns from that $1 million. But my objective is to, again, shoehorn this project into a $1 million budget and get you a new tank up there and address some of the storage issues, address all the storage issues. We have a 20-year design life, another tank next door to the existing tank will address you for the next 20 years. Hopefully no added debt to the town for that project. Nobody's probably interested in the procurement flexibility waiver, so I'll just disregard that. That was something that the mayor and the town clerk have addressed. So another obstacle that was overcome by your town administration to clear the way for $1 million grant. And the last big item is the wastewater and stormwater scope of services. So Anderson Montgomery was selected to work on the town's planning, design, and eventual construction of improvements to the wastewater collection and treatment system. As you're reaching your design capacity for the treatment plant, eliminate some infiltration inflow, trying to stretch the existing collection system and treatment plant as long as we can, but eventually preparing for improvements that will inevitably be necessary as the town continues to grow and your sewer system continues to get older, as we all do. I prepared an application to the DNRC for a $40,000 planning grant, and that planning grant has a 50% match requirement. And Mayor Felstead submitted that DNRC grant application yesterday. We've got our fingers crossed that we'll get $40,000 and have a $80,000 total budget for preparing a preliminary engineering report, applying for a $750,000 Montana Coal Endowment grant application, and then also a $150,000 DNRC Renewable Resource Grant and loan. So that 80 grand, we're going to stretch it out as far as we can, get the planning done, and get you some more grant applications to pay for the eventual improvements to the wastewater treatment plant. And then part of that scope also was to quantify and address stormwater issues that exist in the town. And so I drafted a contract for the wastewater end of things, submitted that today for you guys to review. It's just draft, take a look at it. It's got all the scope of services in there that I just described. And then I will also work on once I've coordinated with Charlie to kind of get my arms around the scope of the stormwater needs here, I'll put together an agreement for that for your consideration as well.
Okay. Okay?
Wonderful.
As regards the items that are under the warranty,
mm-hmm.
Would that be meters? If people have issues with meters,
yes.
They should be sure and report these things and work with Charlie on that, so that when you're going around and looking, you have as many reports as we have possible.
So that's good to know, because then I can make sure that our LC has the meter rep here too. If there's meters that are not behaving properly, then we need to know about them.
And they did come and meet Charlie the other day, but that would be good.
That's good to know.
Yes. Council, did you have any questions for Paul?
No.
Looks like you're good.
Thank you, Paul.
You bet.
Questions for Paul? Thank you, Paul.
You betcha.
And I know you
plan to
come down here because you've got.
Do you mind if I excuse myself?
No, because I know you have a long way to drive. So, thank you so much.
I appreciate it, thank you.
Thank you. Then we will move on to the sheriff's office report. We have Deputy Hughes here this evening. We see typically Landauer, but today we have Hughes. And we've signed the interlocal agreement for, thank you, sheriff's office this evening.
Oh, sorry.
So I've never done this before. I'm Deputy Hughes from the Monroe County Sheriff's Office. Been around almost 4 years now. I've seen some of you that haven't, so nice to meet you all. So we did 79.5 hours in for this month. We've had fair, we've had railroad days, we've had a lot of stuff going on down that way, people taking vacations, all those type of things. So we missed it by a little bit, not by much. But we did everything from, we had wrong way drivers, we had follow-ups, we had threats, we had trespassing issues, we had security checks, DUIs, we had a runaway juvenile that we also assisted with. We had some mental health calls that we've had to do with, along with civil standbys and neighbor disputes, welfare checks, those type of things. So, been pretty busy and pretty steady for the most part on it, so do everything we can to come up here and handle what we can for you guys as well.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Council, do you have any questions or
anything? No. Thank you.
Community, any questions for the deputy?
Thank you.
Thank you for coming this evening. And from French Town Fire District, we have our Chief Damian Frisky here this evening with our report. And I'm surprised you're here with things are pretty busy.
Just a little busy, but we're doing good.
Hi
everyone, I'm Damian Frisky. I'm your French Town Fire Chief. And I just wanted to say that we've been really busy with a lot of stuff around that area, particularly we had the Elder Fire out there just kind of south of Frenchtown, and our crews have been assigned to the Elder Fire off mountain since it started. We've also been working Frenchtown Severity, which is a severity resource where the federal government pays for us to staff an engine here on the 9 Mile Ranger District. And so that includes Alberton, that includes out west a little bit further, Fed Creek out south side, and then all the way up on 9 Mile. And so we've been very fortunate that we've been able to keep that staff with 3 or 4 firefighters 12 hours a day right now. And then on top of our other duties and responsibilities, we're doing pretty well. Many of you may not know that we have a resident volunteer firefighter program that is just amazing. We have 18 to 20 something year olds coming in and working for us where they live at our fire station. They go to school, they get their degree, they get their firefighter one, EMT, any number of different classes that we can put them through. And in return, they work out of our station. So right here, you've got about 3 to 4 at any given time that are working out of this station. Doesn't mean they're always there because they're responsible for the whole district. But then we've got another 3 to 4 up at the Y, and then another 2 to 3 at our station one. And we're gonna hopefully move a couple more out here to Petty Creek here pretty soon once we get 3 more possibly in August. So we can't do this without our volunteers. We can't do this without these kids coming in and getting the training that they need while we get to use them for firefighting and teach them hopefully how to do it right and to take care of our community. So it's a really big thing for me to have these kids out here. It's a huge thing to have our volunteers, you know, right here in Alberton. Again, so you guys might not know, but you have several firefighters that live here. here in Alberton, firefighter, paramedics. You have volunteers that live in your community. And then that's on top of the kids I just told you about. And so of all of our district, Alberton is pretty well covered most of the time between our two firefighter paramedics that live here and respond off duty. I live just south on Peg Creek, so I'm up here pretty quick as well. And so we're able to do a fairly good job of getting people in here most of the time. Not all the time, I can't guarantee that, but we will try anything to get up here as quick as we can every time. Fires have been a little off and on, just kind of depending on what we've got going at the time. You know, we had some pretty bad weather conditions this last weekend for fire and the safety, the low RH, low relative humidity, high winds, heat. It's a bad combination. It turns into a red flag warning for us, which means high fire danger. We're potentially looking at that for this weekend as well. Okay, so I really want to ask everybody, okay, please be careful out there, recreate responsibly. No fires, please. Just avoid them on those days altogether. Yeah, I get it. Nice, cool evening. Somebody wants to have a campfire. Please do it if the regulations allow for it, if the weather allows for it. But be smart about it. The other day during the red flag event, we had a person just trying to do some hay. He's running out of time. He did some hay and then, and he started about a half-acre grass fire. If you hit a rock with your blade, during those conditions, it will start a grass fire. So just ask everybody, no mowing after about, say, 8, 10 o'clock, depending on what that weather was that morning. You know, if it's over 80 degrees, reconsider mowing. If it's over 80 degrees with wind and low humidity, please just don't. Okay? There's a lot of other times that we can do it. I know it comes down to you guys trying to do your best to mitigate your property, and we appreciate that. But let's just be smart about it. We did have a couple of fires west of here that we've been dealing with. We've got one person in particular that we're trying to address and deal with some hazardous fires that are occurring where they live. And so please, 911, if you guys see a fire, see smoke. Okay, this time of year especially, don't try to call our back line. Don't try to get a hold of Joe down the road to call somebody else. Just call 911. That'll get to us right away, and we will respond as quickly as possible. And again, we work very well with the Forest Service. So they respond, DNRC responds, depending on the area. And then Superior Fire and us have an automatic aid agreement where we work together to cover that area in between here and Superior. We'll send resources to them, they'll send resources to us. And so we're continually trying to work together and be able to provide for our community. Help us do that, please. Be smart about fire. Be smart about what's going on. A few different accidents in the area. You can see just east of here, 9 Mile Bridge got hit twice within a couple of days. Fortunately, both those were pretty minor, were no injury. And then out here, we're just busy with a lot of medical aids and public assists. So please call, please take care of your neighbors, please help them out, but please call if you guys need us for anything. Okay. Any questions? Yes, ma'am.
Is there something as a community that we can do for the people on the line or, you know, this?
You know, I got to tell you, this community, as a whole, Frenchtown Fire District, there's sometimes these kids have more food than most food pantries do. Our community is pretty, I got to watch my verbiage here, very amazing, okay? They take very good care of us, and we are constantly getting stuff brought by the fire stations, and we try to save it for the kids that are here. Because, you know, they don't have full-time jobs. They try to mix in a job on top of their 48 hours per week, and then on top of their school, everything else, EMT. And so we try to help them as much as possible. But, of course, you know, just saying thanks to our volunteers especially and our firefighters is really a big deal, and we really, really appreciate it. There is nothing more than seeing these guys work, and I couldn't be more proud. They're just an amazing group, and like I said, we're even more fortunate out here because of who we have living out here.
Good. I was just wondering because of the all those fires, so.
Oh, thank you.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Thank you, Chief. Appreciate it.
Any questions out here? Anything? All right. Well, thank you very much. Good to see you.
Sure, appreciate you.
You guys take good care, okay? Thank you.
Are you
I'm gonna try and sneak out. It was supposed to be date night, and I got home at about 10 o'clock last night. So I'm gonna try again tonight. We'll see.
So we don't have a report from County Planner Andy Short, who is not here. Sharon and I have been attending the county planning meetings, and they're in the process of doing some updating. It's not their ordinance,
bylaw.
For the bylaws, yes, that's right. Anyway, and the county attorney is not here tonight either, so we don't have a report from him. So we will move on to all business, and so you will perhaps all remember that for the last two meetings, we have read the ordinance that we've adopted, and now we are moving on to the resolution. This is our resolution regarding utility rates, penalties, fees, and fines, and Shannon, I hope you are as good at this as Jalen was, but
probably not.
When I stumble on my words, why she was so particular on that is because what happens when I read it is what I say becomes what is the ordinance.
Resolution.
Not the resolution. Not what is printed. And perhaps in the future that will change. So I will read the resolution. Town of Alberton Resolution Number 358, a resolution establishing a schedule of utility rates, fees, and penalties. Also a notice and disconnection schedule pursuant to Ordinance Number 2026-06-03. Whereas the Town Council of the Town of Alberton has adopted Ordinance Number 2026-06-03, which amends Chapters 4-2 and 4-4 of Title 4 of the Alberton Municipal Code to remove specific dollar amounts from ordinance text and to authorize the Town Council to establish and amend utility rates, fees, penalties, and the disconnection notice schedule by resolution. And whereas Montana Code Annotated Section 69-7-101 authorizes the town to regulate, establish, and change rates, charges, and classifications for utility services, provided they are reasonable and just. And whereas Montana Code Annotated Section 69-7-111 requires a public hearing before regulating, establishing, or changing rates, charges, or classifications, and whereas the Town Council desires to establish or update certain administrative fees and penalties associated with utility service without changing the existing monthly water or sewer rates at this time, and whereas the Town Council finds that the fees and penalties set forth below are reasonable and necessary for the proper administration and collection of utility accounts. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the Town Council of the Town of Alberton, Montana, as follows. Section 1, Adoption of Rate Schedule. A, rates and connection fees unchanged. The existing monthly water and sewer service rates and the existing water and sewer connection hook fees remain unchanged and continue in full force and effect. This resolution does not modify those rates or connection fees. B. The following schedule of utility fees and penalties is hereby adopted and shall be effective as of August 4th, 2026. Item and amount. Disconnection fee, $50. Reconnection fee, $100. Account setup or transfer fee, $30. Meter testing fee, if meter is accurate, will be $60. Unauthorized reconnection penalty fee is $150. A payment fee, $10. Interest on delinquent accounts is 1.5% per month, which is the same as 18% per annum. NSF returned payment fee is $40. Lien release filing fee is $150. Notice and collection fee per notice, which is the door notice or posted or mailed warning, is $30. Section 2, notice and disconnection schedule. The following notice and disconnection schedule is hereby adopted and shall remain in effect until amended by subsequent resolution. A, late notice shall be sent during the first week of the month following the delinquency. B, disconnect notice shall be sent during the second week of the month following the delinquency. C, a final 24-hour disconnect notice shall be issued during the third week of the month following the delinquency or as otherwise timed under the then current schedule. D, no disconnection of service for non-payment shall occur without notice to the property owner in accordance with this schedule and applicable Montana law. Section 3, maintenance and availability. The town clerk treasurer shall maintain the current rate schedule, notice and disconnection schedule on file, post them in a publicly accessible location at town hall, and make them available to utility customers upon request. Section 4, prior resolutions. Any prior resolutions establishing utility rates, fees, or penalties that are inconsistent with this resolution are hereby superseded to the extent of such inconsistency. Resolutions that remain consistent with this resolution continue in full force and effect. Section 5, effective date. This resolution shall take effect immediately upon passage and approval on or before the date specified in Section 1, Item B. So, it's been adopted by the Town Council, Lieutenant Alberton, this fourth day of August 2026. Council, do you have any comments on this resolution following the two ordinances read?
I do not. I'm curious how we arrived at these numbers. Is this just standard numbers that are normally used, or are these something that are calculated based on towns?
Shannon, would you like to answer that question?
They're fairly standard. There is a range, and we try to stick in the middle of the range.
Yeah. I'm just concerned. You know, like, my concern, obviously, is that Alberton is Alberton, and, you know, the people that live here.
Believe it or not, we did lower some of the rates.
That's good. I'm just curious, making sure we're not getting too big city here in a small town with our fees and stuff. So I'm also to understand that this is that the disconnect will be after the first, so that if you don't pay your bill, and then the next month after.
So if you are, if you are behind, the first notice you get is will be in the mail. You get the notice that you are late, delinquent. There are two of those notices that are required to go out, and then the third is a door hanger. So your third notice is posted on the house itself. For if you don't pick up your mail, you still get notice.
And each of those notices will come with their own fee?
Yes, so it's just shy of $11 to send something by, because we have to do return receipt. Mm-hmm. In addition to that, it's the town clerk's time, having to put it all together and having to do it, as well as when the door hangers come, somebody's got to go put them on the doors.
Yeah.
Things like that, yeah.
Are we going to be able to make this schedule and stuff like a little bit more visible for people?
It has to be posted. And
right now
it's posted in the town office, so we will redo that posting with the new rates and make sure that's also posted.